And I hope that everyone would take that in consideration, considering the value of the implications there. But I'd like to go to Isaiah. We didn't read Isaiah. I want to read that Isaiah account. I know some of you have. I hope you did anyway. I gave it to you to kind of go over because we didn't get to read it on Sunday. I'll start out with that, but I want to reiterate those verses because I think they're important. Isaiah 29, I gave you that section just to go home to read and go back over it. How many of you know it's important when the word of the Lord comes? Well, let me just tell you that the word of the Lord has to be pursued, and you have to make a conscious effort to make sure that you're going in the direction necessary to bring about those changes. Every time the Lord gave a word, that was the warning that was given. And I think it has to be the same to us. But let's read this 29. Then we'll go back and look at what we looked at on Sunday just as a refresher, because I want you to be reminded of this. And then I wanna, I'll talk to you concerning how important it is to pursue the direction of the Lord, whatever He says. But let's look at that. Isaiah 29, verse number 1. All right. In verse number 1 says, "Woe, O Ariel, Ariel, the city where David once camped. Add year to year, observe your feasts on schedule." Now, the word Ariel, again, that's just another way of describing Jerusalem. So you'll understand that. You'll come across this, but the word means Lion of God. Or Jerusalem, the word Ariel. So just keep that in mind. When you're reading, it's not talking about another place. Ariel, the city where David once camped. Then it says, add year to year, observe your feast on schedule. I will bring distress to Ariel. I will bring distress. And she will be a city of lamenting and mourning. Now, keep in mind, when I use the word she here, naturally we don't think that he's speaking of a woman. But the city's personified as, you know, people do boats. How many know most boats are dressed as she, right? Because I was asked that question. I was coming in the other day, and we was coming into the marina real slow. And the guy says, "Hey, Cap, why all the boats have women names?" I said, "Well, I'm pretty sure they got other names." And I said, "I don't know." And he said, "You ever notice that when people talk about their boat, they'll say, 'Man, she's pretty,' or 'She's sinking.'" You know, it's personification in reference to something. Same thing here. Remember, wisdom is addressed as what in the scripture? Her or she. Right? It's personified. So the Bible has that with it. When you study in the Bible, you'll see that's some of the things that it makes reference to. You got to keep that in mind when you're studying, because you'll come across these things from time to time. And also when you're dealing with Yahweh, the Most High, and the His only begotten Son and Holy Spirit, making sure that you keep that same kind of thought as you're going through Scripture, or wisdom. And you'll see that, or the angel of the Lord. We'll see those things throughout different studies. You'll see, you'll come across that. I just wanted to make mention that. He says, I will bring distress to Ariel, and she will be a city of lamenting and mourning. And she will be like Ariel to me. I will camp against you, encircling you. And I will set siege works against you, and I will raise up battle towers against you. Now, who's doing all this? Who's allowing this? So who's making sure this is going to take place? So remember, the prophet is prophesying. Isaiah is prophesying. And he's prophesying. And it starts off, he says, whoa. So there's something going to happen. And we know he's speaking mainly, right, that mainly of the 70 AD, destruction of Jerusalem. He's mainly speaking that. So keep that in mind as we're going go through this particular reading, and we read what we read Sunday. I will set siege works against you, and I will raise up battle towers against you. Then you will be brought low. You'll be brought low. From the earth you will speak, and from the dust where you are prostrate. Your words will come. Your voice will also be like that of a spirit from the ground. Like that of a voice from the spirit of the ground. And so keep, you know, that's bringing low. I mean, he's so low, almost at the point of death or even death. There'll be many that died on that particular, this prophetic event. Many died. So he was conditioned, let them know that what I said, make sure you understand that that's going to happen. You're going to face these things. And remember, there's prophetic word that comes that tells you this is going to happen, and there will be nothing to change that event. I mean, you know, there's another event that's going to happen just like that, and nothing can change it. It's an appointed time. When Christ returns, nothing. There's nothing politically. There's no prayer. There's nothing can change that. See, a person can't say, well, I'm just going to pray that we'll have more time. That's a point in time. You can't change that time. It's already marked. God has that as a set time. There's the other prophetic word that comes that's conditional. If you do this, then you'll have these results. If you don't do this, then you won't have those results. But it's spoken through the prophet. He speaks those words, and he says, this is what God, the Lord, is saying. So remember, they're conditional ones, and they're ones that are appointed times. They're going to be. But he is letting them know. He said, your speech will whisper from the dust. Your speech will whisper from the dust. But the multitude of your enemies will become like fine dust. And the multitude of the rootless ones like the chaff which blows away. And it will happen instantly, suddenly. Notice that. It will, all of, you know, everything's going good. We're moving along. We're pushing in a direction. And all of a sudden, it happens. And that, I mean, we go back in history. So we can look at the historical event and see that it was a destruction. I mean, it's just what he had said would happen. From the Lord of hosts you will be punished with thunders and earthquake and loud noises. Who? Who's going to punish? Notice that. Now, how many have noticed this? That those who get up and we just want you to know that we're... They never prayed these verses. They don't want none of their people to be shocked. That if you don't do what God said, there's a consequence. So they won't read any of this. They're not going to read what y'all been talking about. None of that's going to be read. They're not reading. They're interested in the blessings. And the blessings they'll read, not the curse. And so everybody, so there's no consequence. You could do whatever it is, but there's no payment that has to be paid. The scripture says the Lord will bring thunders. And so I want you to understand, does that mean God is mean or He's mad? No, but He has a standard. And He's a holy God, and we don't want Him to conform to us. You know, is that what we demand in that the Lord some? But look at our society. Look in the world today. The world says we need to, you know, just be more understanding. And we have all this stuff coming down, and it's being really fed. And they're doing it at every level. Even in the, you know, in the public schools, they're basically pushing this down the children to make them, you know, see. And you're going to have, this is the beginning. They're going to be case after case after case after case where you're going to see in this public arena where you're going to be infringed upon if you standing for the principles of the Word of God. Now, but you have to be more understanding. So the opposite of we have to be more understanding to a minority of people who believe this is who they are or whatever. But there's no more of that. That rule doesn't apply to the believer in the Most High God who follows those rules. You see, it doesn't. It's just some kind of difference or double standard, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. But I want you to understand, from the Lord of hosts, you will be punished. What he said, with thunders and earthquakes and loud noises, with whirlwinds and tempests and flames of a consuming fire, and the multitude of all the nations who wage war against Ariel, even all who wage war against her in her stronghold, who distress her, will be like a dream, a vision of the night. A dream, a vision of the night. Now understand this. I will be as when a hungry man dreams. It will be as when a hungry man dreams, and behold, he is eating. But when he awakes, his hunger is not satisfied. His hunger is not satisfied. And let me tell you, there was a witness of this simply because of what Jesus was telling them. There was an absolute rejection of the hour in which God had picked to visit them. Now, we can say that was an amazing prophecy. It's an eye-opening prophecy. And we've seen they went through a lot of these struggles and troubles and just what Jesus said would happen. Well, let me just tell you, this same word is not a word that's come and passed its time. It still holds true to us today. If we reject the Lord, then those things that they faced, if he was willing in his counsel to speak this against the very people that he had chosen to be his people. And then we're supposed to come into that as Gentiles born again. We become, like Paul said, Israelites indeed. Then the same applies to us if we reject the counsel of the Lord. It's no different. So you read these prophets and say, well, I'm glad I wasn't back then. You're here. We're here right now. And we have to heed those counsels. That would be like saying that the blessings and the cursings that you read in Leviticus, dealing with the feast in Leviticus and the blessings and cursings, and in Deuteronomy, don't apply today. You see, that would be the same thing. Well, then we don't read Isaiah in these 16 verses because that was something that was done to the Ariel, Jerusalem. You know, we have to understand that we come underneath that banner and we want the blessings of the Lord. We have to be cautious to make sure that we're giving all honor and glory to Him when it comes to this. Because He talks about some interesting things here. He says this, or as when a thirsty man dreams, and behold, he is drinking, but when he awakes, behold, he is faint. Do you understand what he's saying? I mean, you have to get understand these principles here. He says, like, when a man is hungry and he's dreaming that he's eating, he said, you'll be just like that. And when you wake, you're not going to feel like you eaten anything. And so that's what's happened. If you look around, that's exactly what happened. It's just like this. If I'm coming to church, if I say I'm a believer, and I'm participating in the activities of what the believer is supposed to do, and I'm not engaged in it with my heart, where it's becoming a reality to me, I'm like a man who's dreaming and I'm eating, but when I wake up, and we're all going to wake up, we're going to say, okay, I didn't get, it's like I never drank or ate. Then you have nothing. So get the point that he's making here. Are we just going through the, are we in the dream state? I think, listen, where's the church world? Is it a dream state? But when we wake up, because awaken represents the reality that now required of us is everything that we think we did. And that's when do we want to hear, depart from me? Listen, let's take it to a different level. And the people might say, well, you know, we don't want to get too radical about this. We're not talking about radicalism. We're talking about just being real. If I can get into anything, why shouldn't I be able to get into serving the Most High God with unapologetic, unashamed, and say, you know what? That's the choice that I know that I have to make for me, for my children, for my family. And but we're afraid. We're afraid that we're going to be separated somehow as some radical nutcases in some many ways. I mean, you already branded. I can tell you now, you come in here, you already branded. Them people, you're them people now. Them people don't even celebrate Christmas. Have you heard? So you could be a part of them people, but that's what happened. And it's not like we're going out trying to start a new cult, right? We're just going back. We went to the Bible and it said, you shouldn't do that. And laid it out. We just laid it out verse by verse by verse. And if you went back, go back and listen to the archive and go back and see all the slides, you'll see that we laid it out verse by verse by verse. And you got to look back and say, okay, what do we do here? So we make a conscious decision. But the moment you do that, the brand comes out. The question is, do we want to be those who go to sleep? We live in a dream state, and in a dream we eating, but when we awake, we ain't eating anything. Or do when we go, we drinking, we in it. But when we awake, we're faint. And he said, that's how you'll be. That's the condition that will happen to you. You're all into it. You're keeping the feast days. That don't qualify. Just let you know. You're keeping them. But we're not talking about just keeping them, because it can become another systematic, traditional thing where you do. We're supposed to be rehearsing, not just keeping them. This is a rehearsal. Remember, it's a holy convocation. A holy convocation. So they're rehearsals. So we're going through the rehearsal. We're practicing for the event that's really going to happen. And that's what it has to mean to me. That the one that's most important hadn't happened yet. And it's going to happen. And we're about to go into that season where we celebrate those feast days coming into the fall. It's incredible. I want you to understand it's more than just us keeping Purim. It's more than us just keeping the feast days that we go through. You know, Pentecost, it's great. We had a great time. But it's Passover, but it's more. It's rehearsals. It's knowing I'm doing this because I have an anticipation, and I realize. So when we went through, Passover, and we went through Pentecost, those events are realities now. They were rehearsals. They were rehearsals. Do you know that before Jesus came and John looked up? I was just going over this yesterday. I was going back over it yesterday, and I said, "Well, why am I going over back this yesterday?" And I was like, and when John looked up, and there he was, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." That was the Lamb for the Passover. It wasn't. It was about a few days past that. Then he's going to be taken. They take the Lamb. Can you imagine? They rehearsed that for 1,500 years. Then it became real. So let's not get tired in our rehearsals. Every time it comes around for the fall feast, we ought to be rehearsing, because those have not been fulfilled. And they're coming. They'll be coming here soon. The fall feasts have not been fulfilled. Now, he had already fulfilled the others. Passover has been fulfilled. Pentecost has been fulfilled. There's no more rehearsing that. Now, we're doing it. We do them as a memorial of the event that we know happened, that was prophesied hundreds of years before they come to reality. The Mount Sinai, the day of Pentecost. These are realities. We have a historical accounts of those events. But now we wait patiently for the fall feast to come. And so when we do them, we don't want to just be doing feasts. Because remember what he said? You keep the feast. But you're the one like dream. You dream and you eat, and you get up and you're empty. How many see the point that he's talking? He's warning us. This is important principles. And when you read this, how many read this? How many read it when I gave it to you? Did anybody get a chance to read the Isaiah account when I gave it to you on Sunday? I know it's because we'd like to read it, but we had a lot going on Sunday. How many read it? And it's just a lot when you read it. It was like, whoa, what is all this? Right? How many glad we're going over it a little bit? So you get to that dream part, you figure out, what is he talking about? You dream and you're eating and you get up and you don't know. This is the condition of the church world. Because remember, this ain't addressed to the sinners. This ain't addressed to the lost. This is not talking about pagans. This is talking about Jerusalem, the city where David once camped. Very important for us to understand that. So he says, or as one that's thirsty, a thirsty man, he dreams and behold, he wakes. When he awakes, behold, he is faint. And his thirst is not quenched. His thirst is not quenched. I hope we see this. Thus the multitudes of all the nations will be who wage war against Mount Zion. So how many see the dual application of this prophecy? How many see it's dual, not single? For the most part, we're looking at a single, right? But then he says, also those who wage war against Mount Zion. So we have an event that came to reality, 70 AD, and we have another event that's going to come. And they're going to wage war against Jerusalem. All the bombs will be pointed to Israel, a little bit of strip of land. But he says, oh man, you're going to be in trouble. Because the defender will come, right? Verse number 9. Be delayed and wait. Blind yourselves and be blind. They became drunk, but not with wine. They staggered, but not with strong drink. For the Lord has poured over you a spirit of deep sleep. Who poured it? The Lord has poured over you a spirit of deep sleep. He has shut your eyes, the prophets, and he has covered your heads, the seers. Think about that. So what's going on with the prophets? What's going on with the seers? You see my point? There's a big change that's happening. And so notice that we're going through some of those things still today. There's famous books and stuff that'll come out about this and that and about the moons and all this stuff and the Shemitah, the years and all that. It was a big craze, right? We just passed that. You remember that whole September deal, the whole events are coming. We'll see. Let's see what's happening. Here they come. They're approaching. What's going to happen when the whole thing passes? Everybody's going, well, what happened? Nothing. Nothing happened. Why, you ever wondered why? What does he do to the prophets? Cover his eyes. The seer. So these are important things. Because remember, we're talking about, for the Lord has poured over you a spirit of deep sleep. Maybe, did you think maybe that the church has come into some deep sleep? We want to make sure, because how many know it's going to awake? There's going to be an awakening, and the one who sleeps, dreams, and eats, wakes hungry. The one who dreams in a thirst and drinks, wakes thirsty, and the thirst cannot be quenched. So it says here, for the Lord poured over you a spirit of deep sleep. He has shut your eyes, the prophets, and he has covered your heads, the seers. The entire vision will be to you like the words of a sealed book, which when they give it to the one who is literate, saying, please read this, he will say, I cannot, for it is sealed. I cannot, for it is sealed. So can he read it because he can't read it because he's illiterate? No, it says give it to the who? The literate. I mean, he can read, but he cannot read it because it is sealed. It's sealed. So then the book will be given to the one who is illiterate. Now you see that? Saying, please read. And he will say, I cannot read. Then the Lord said, because this people drew near with their words. They drew near with what? Their words. And honor me with their lip service. But they removed their hearts far from me. Is anybody see this? This is key. This is a key element to what we're stepping into. Because no matter what was said Sunday, unless we get a hold to this, that it gets down to the individual. It really does. It just gets down to the individual. What am I going to do that I don't become the persons that he's talking about here? So he said to the literate, read. I can't read because they're sealed up. Then he says to the illiterate, read. I cannot read, literally. You get my point? Didn't talk about being sealed. He said, I cannot read. And so we see all of this happen. So then he goes into this statement. He says, you do things for me. You're involved. You're participating. But here's what God's view is of the participation. He says this. For then the book will be given to the illiterate. Then he says, then the Lord said. Who said? The Lord. He always says this. Because this people draw what? Near with their words. With their words. And honor me with their lip service. So listen, I can tell you that right there fits the bill of regular church service. Activities, participation. It fits the bill. And we can get by with people and even with each other. But that's not the one we're here that looks. We're not here to look at each other. The one who sees everything, who knows everything, who knows the motive, everything we do, he knows, that's the one that we're going to be judged by. Watch what he says. The very next thing. So we got drawing near. It's great. With words, good words, honor me with their lip service. So we're saying good things about God. We're singing songs. We're worshiping. But they remove their hearts far from me. How many want to have some help with, we don't do that? Because that's the thing that God, he won't tolerate. He wants all of us. He don't just want us out of this shell. We can do things. How many's ever been in an arena? And that could have been in a public arena, more of a private arena, be in a living room or a gymnasium or an auditorium or a stadium. And there were some people who had more of a participation in the involvement of whatever was going on than you did. How many's ever seen? How many's ever been in a more private setting where you were the more vibrant participant than the other one? You ever wondered, if you were the vibrant one, why the other guy is not yelling? Why he's not excited as you are? You ever wondered that? Because in his heart, there's something going on that to him is not that big a deal. But he spends the same amount of money to get right next to where you're sitting. But you would maybe say, well, he's not having a good time. But if you ever wondered if, because we judge by eyes, right? What we see, our sensory. But you ever wondered that maybe he was having an incredible time. He was plugged in. Matter of fact, he makes every one of them. So, but here's what we do. We think the more expressive we are, it says something to everybody else how much I'm in. Do you understand? But that's not, listen, don't mix that up. Because what happens, you'll self-qualify to being in a position with God that you never did get to. Does this make sense to anybody? We have to be careful with that. Because he says, you draw near to me with your words. You give lip service to me. I mean, you're the best. But your heart is removed from me. Do you understand that those things are great, but they have to stay connected to you, the person. They have to stay connected. So it's not that God doesn't want those things, but let's not mix up and think that we're actually doing what God wants because we are kind of, we don't mind. Yeah, I mean, I've seen people do it. I might be the guy that sits back. I mean, I'm like, come on, man, we just need a little bit. I might be. But the other guy, he's jumping out of his seat and he's. I remember the first time I went to an LSU football game, and the things that I went with Mr. Gene and Tom, and Tom was an LSU student. He was in grad school, so he was in it. I didn't know they did all. They were rituals, you know. He had like a thing tied around his foot. He had to have one belt loop out, you know, miss a belt loop. Because they won the last time. So everybody, what's your belt? You missed a loop. And so everybody has to have one. And they go into it. And he's intense. You know, he's got to have this little voodoo doll, you know. And it's all kind of stuff. And I mean, firm in it. Wide open in it. And I'm like, okay. I want him to win. But I just, you understand. Now in my heart, I wanted him to win as bad as he did. But he expressed his wanting to win way more than I did. Does that make him different as God would view it? Absolutely not. You understand my point? This is what he's trying to tell us. Don't mix that up. Oh, you're not in it. Because what happens, it creates division. We don't need to be divided here. If you want to sit down and not say a whole lot, and you're wide open, got your heart not removed from God, but near God, I say sit down. But here's what we do. Why they not standing? I was in it, me. Man, some of them just sitting down. I don't know how to. That's division. That's divisive. Do you understand that? We're not the ones that decide that. God's the one that decides. So what does he say? So some might sit, some might clap, some might got their leg going like that. I don't know. But whatever you're doing, you got to make sure your heart is not removed from it. Because the rest of the stuff to God doesn't matter. So we can't say, well, this guy, you know, he just don't get in it. Man, we had him going. Well, if you're doing that and your heart's there, go ahead and do it. But if you're just doing that, so you want somebody to think you somewhere, You might fool everybody, but you'll never fool God, ever. He knows, and he says, all of you, you keep your feasts, you do all your stuff, you show up on time, everything, and you do all these words, and you do all this lip service, but your heart is removed from me. That's the part that we want to make sure that we're not doing. And nobody in here can tell you where your heart's at, but you know. You can keep saying to yourself it's not, and you can try to convince somebody else it's not, but time will tell where the heart of a person is. It really will. And you can tell you where your heart's at. Because if you could easily be provoked, there's a heart issue. If you can easily, all of us just at a drop, be so mad at somebody, that's a heart issue. Remember that. So you don't have to explain it to nobody. The events of life will tell. How you react will tell. Because it's going to come out. It will. Now, what happens in church, most of the times you only see them when you're here. And so you can put on, you can condition yourself to be, you know, then right now they're telling Donald Trump he needs to be more presidential. Right? And that's what they say. Everybody in the movement, he needs to be more presidential because he's the nominee now. So what we have conditioned ourselves, we the same way. We can really condition ourselves to play the part. And when we hear, you see, but then that's it. But that's not what God's interested in. Because listen, when you go home, he's there. When you go wherever you go, he's there. When you're at work, he's there. When you're taking care of the kids, he's there. Whatever you're doing, he's there. You're shopping, he's there. He's watching over every moment. When you interact with each other, he's there. When you're husband and wife, he's there. He's in every aspect of our life. He knows what's going on. And so we're not fooling God. And he's telling them, don't practice that because these are the things that's going to happen to you. And they kept on, they kept on, they kept on. And it happened. They got invaded and they got destroyed. And it's sad because God tells them, don't do it. Don't do it. So I'm sure you've heard the famous verse right there, right? That's not your first time hearing that verse. I mean, I've heard people say it all, and preachers will say it during their message. You know, they won't talk about the whole chapter, but they'll use that one verse and they'll say, you know, you honor me, you draw near to me with your words, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is removed far from me. And their reverence for me, notice this, and their reverence for me consists of traditions learned. Do you see this? Do you see what I'm saying here? Conditions that are learned, and when he looks at that, men can teach traditions. Men can teach that. They can say, well, this is what we ought to do. And so what they started doing in the Talmud, they started adding things. Well, we would, instead of, you know, it's like, how many's ever read the label on something and it said, take one? And you say, well, I'm going to take two, man. It'll work twice as fast. Right? And you didn't even have to think about that. It's just because we're so conditioned to think that more is better. Right? And so that's what they did. They said, well, you know, what we want to do is we're going to take more than, you know, he says one, but we're going to do this, and we're going to add a little sacrifice here. We're going to do an additional prayer here. And this will set us apart from them. Because we don't want to be like them. And Jesus comes along and he says, listen, you more worked up about the traditions of men. And you're not keeping the word of the Father. And he was up against it. I mean, up against. So, this is what we'll do. Listen, these poor folks, you know, they just, I mean, I know they're just like us. We Jews, they're Jews. But they're poor. They're miserable and wretched. What we'll do is we'll set up business in the temple. And when they get here, we're going to raise the price to double because we know they're going to keep tradition. They want to keep pace with the word. So what did Jesus do? I didn't finish reading it on Sunday. But immediately after he says what he says, he goes straight into the temple. And what does he do? He turns the tables over. He says, okay, this is not going to work. This is the thing that we have to be cautious in. Now, because he's warning us, their reverence for me. Notice that. How many feel like you have a deep reverence for the Most High God? A deep respect. Listen, how many feel like you have a deep, deep... This is what the Lord spoke to me today. We was out, went out early this morning, and we were listening to the song, Nobody Greater, Nobody Greater Than You. And it's talking about the power and the authority of Jesus. And it came to me, and I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, okay, I have the Most High God, and I have the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, and what he did. Now, I want to tell you, the writer of the song, no doubt, he writes in his mind, everything's the same, right? It's all the same. So we listen to the song, you have to listen to it. Nobody greater than you, nobody can heal like you can. It goes on and talks about different things, aspects of the work of the Lord Jesus and what he did. Now, it says, but nobody's greater. Now, you have to sing that and make sure that at the beginning of the song, you say, this song is written with the understanding we're talking about Yeshua HaMashiach and what he did. It's not written to say he's greater in any way than the one that he says he's not greater than. Because we don't want to go against the scripture, right? Now, he's the one said that. And so I think that a lot of these, as long as you have a disclaimer, you put that out there, these are perfectly fine songs. Because let me tell you, when it talks about what he did, it lays it down. It's incredible. But don't get in the practice of, oh, I can't listen to that. Listen to the Spirit. You ought to have an automatic. Listen, if you know what the Word says, you got a built-in disclaimer. You know what's good. You know what's not. It becomes part of who you are. And this is so we don't want to, because let me tell you, the more we keep the feast, the more we can get attached to a traditional part of it than we do doing the rehearsal. And we don't want to do that. We expand it, you know, we're trying to expand it and do some things to really appreciate the Lord. We don't want to get caught up in the expansion of it. We're doing it because we're making the memorial, especially, you know, when we talked about Pentecost and all this is powerful stuff. And so I hope that you're keeping those things in mind as we continue. Therefore, verse 14, behold, I will once again deal marvelously with this people. Wondrously, marvelously. Do you see this? And the wisdom of their wise men will perish. The wisdom of their wise men will perish. And the discernment of their discerning men will be concealed. Woe to those who deeply hide their plans from the Lord. Wow, think about that. Woe to those who deeply hide their plans from the Lord. How many of you know there's a lot of hiding going on in our world today? The plans of people, the motives of people, think they're hiding them from the God, from Most High God who knows everything? He says, woe to you who try to hide your plans from me. And that's what the elite do. Those that are most powerful in the world, those that believe that they got it figured out because they have so much money, they can do whatever they want. He says, woe to you. But not only to those who have all of that, but down to the person who doesn't have a whole lot, and they're still deep down in their heart is removed. He says the same woe. Do you see how God is? He's not singling out any group. He's from the richest to the poorest, depending on your heart. Because you can have hardly... Listen, there was two in the Bible, didn't have a whole lot. So they had some land. They had some land. And they said, we want to be involved in this group. We really want to sell out. We want to give all, you know, go sell all you got. What was Jesus telling those early disciples? What did he tell them? Go sell everything. Didn't he not? He said, you're going to go with me? Because this is ground level, foundational. This is where we're launching from. Go, we need you all in. So he was talking about commitment. These guys left. They left. They left their stuff. And they followed him. So Ananias and Sapphira, they said, well, we're in. You sure? Yeah, we're in. So they sold the land. But they had a plan. We're going to hold back. They won't know. It's not like they're going to go check the court documents. We're just going to lie. You know what the Lord says? Woe to those who hide their plans. Woe. Now, they didn't have a whole lot. So I don't care where you are on the spectrum. The part that God's not going to put up with is those who try to hide. You can be poor, and you can say, I'm poor, I ain't got much, and God's supposed, what are you supposed to do? Like, feel sorry? If you you might be poor, but you could be honest. You can be poor and tell the truth. You understand that? And then you're rich, according to God. You can have a lot of money, and if you're not honest, it don't matter. Your money will never bail you out. You understand? So it's about the truth, and this is what he says. He says, well, and let me tell you, there was no doubt there was a turnaround or a shifting, as it were, and the economy was getting better. Everything was going good, but then they started hiding their plans, and he said, whoa, watch it. And this is exactly what we're facing today. I want to tell you, in the culture of those who has been selected by God, there's a lot of money in the Jewish arena. A lot of power. A lot of businesses. And I can go on. There's a whole list of things I can name. And all of the in movie industry, in the sports industry, all of that is owned by Jews. And the Lord says, woe to them who hide their plans. And I'm going to tell you, there's an underneath motive connection there. And the Lord knows it. He can't be fooled. But then there's those who love the Lord, the Messianic. They know their Messiah come. They're waiting for the Messiah. They're feast keeping, law abiding Jews, and they don't have a hope, but they're serious. They're gonna have to maintain that seriousness. And because God's not, He's not, you can't buy Him. You can't go into a position where you know, Lord, whatever, I don't have much. That don't move God. He's looking for honesty. So it don't matter what spectrum you're on, if you'll be honest with the Lord, and He's going to do what He said, because He says, woe to those who deeply hide their plans from Yahweh, and whose deeds are done in a dark place. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of stuff happening in the dark places around the world right now. I'm going to tell you, a lot of stuff. A lot. And where we are, as far as the timing of the Lord, we're going to be coming in, critical time we're coming into. We're coming into the fall feast. I want you to remember this. Anytime you come into the fall feast, you ought to be ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's when it's going to happen, during that time, in that area, during those times. So we're coming into that. Now, if you knew, everyone that's sitting here, if you knew for a fact that it would be this time, these feast days, I guarantee you, your whole approach in life would ultimately, it would just immediately, not ultimately, immediately start changing. Because you knew. But we don't know. We don't know that. But we're rehearsing that. So if we're rehearsing, what is a rehearsal? A rehearsal is a serious thing. You know, I've done weddings before and they have a rehearsal. They go to rehearsal and they have a rehearsal done. Now, it's a get-together. It's almost like it's a pre-wedding type thing. You get together, everybody's having a, you know, you go through the whole thing that you're going to be doing, then everybody eats, and you're having a, it's, everybody's getting together. It's great. It's like an event. That's what that's what we ought to be getting ready for, this coming event. And so if we're doing that, and we're in that, and we're keeping ourselves, and we're following the commands of the Lord, and it just so happens to be that time, who thinks that just maybe, we'd be a whole lot better off if we were doing the rehearsal. Now, what's the caution in the doing a rehearsal? We can still become traditional in that. with drawing near with our words, giving lip service, and the heart's not in it. That's why it has to be checked every single time. We're not just going to do it because it's coming. We're doing it because, to me, it's serious business. How many feel like the feast time, when it comes around, that's serious to you? You got to keep that. You got to keep it, because if it's not serious, your heart won't be in it. So you can be a participant in it and still not be ready for when Christ returns. And we don't want to miss that. Can you imagine? There's not many generations, although it's been said all my life, the Lord can come back anytime. And that's because everybody only had a certain understanding. So they only had a certain understanding. But can you imagine that in our lifetime it could happen? You understand what I'm saying? You know, they're coming out. Everything's come out. This last couple of days, they had these all these events. You know, June 6, 2016, 666, 6616. All this stuff was going on. It was crazy stuff. They did this big pentagram in Los Angeles. They let him out. I mean, Satan's been released. It's been this whole, you know, mark of the beast. This guy came out. Now he's the famous guy. He's got, you know, he don't do anything. Now he goes to open his house with his hand. He opens his car. He goes to the bank. He goes, he does everything. Just waves his hand. Unlocks everything. Goes to his office. Lets him in. You understand? And so now the Congress is all under this pressure to start mandating that when the children are born from here on out, why shouldn't they be inserted with this new technology? The world's changing. We just need to get with it. That's what they're saying. Well, you know, get with the program. And that's all happening while we're watching Hillary and Trump fight. You understand? So we got to be careful that we don't get sidetracked, because you can get sidetracked. And you got to stay astute to the Scripture. The Scripture is important to us. Every word that we read, every verse is in value to us. We can't afford to miss anything. And we gotta watch these things. So all this stuff's going on. All this is happening. And you gotta wonder, well, you know, what's about to happen? What's about to take place in the world, around the world? What's gonna happen? And so he's telling us, whoa, whoa, whoa. He gives us these warnings. Whoa, whoa. He's letting us know that we have to be careful. So he says this: woe to those who deeply hide their plans from Yahweh and whose deeds are done in the dark places. And this is exactly what's happening. Dark places, again, this is a cover. How many of you know they'll do a cover? They'll have an event, all the cameras will go, it might be a shooting or something, and everybody's going over there, and the whole time that you're going over there, they're passing this, and all these agendas going through, and nobody questions it. Because we're too caught up with the, you know, who shot who. This happens all the time. It's called doing things in the darkness. Doing things undercover. So you don't know about it. And that's what exactly. And we got to get more up to speed. And when the way you do that, you pray. You go to God and you say, God, I need insight. I need understanding. What I need to retain, I retain. What I don't, it needs to fall. But I want to make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Am I right with you? Am I really serving you? Am I speaking your word? Is it really alive in me? These are things that you need to start praying. Very important to be praying those prayers of protection. And I gave you that when I was talking on Sunday before last about being persistent. Keep praying those prayers. Keep doing it. God, whatever it is you want for me, that's what I want. And he'll give us the insight that we need. And they say, who sees us? That's what they say. Who sees us? Or who knows us? What is he talking about? And they say, notice that. And they say, who sees us or who knows us? Listen, that's telling me that if we'll stay in tune with the Most High, if we'll humble ourselves before him on a daily basis, they can't pull it over on you. They went abroad. Who sees me? Who knows? And they really think. We look at them. Do you understand that people in society around the world has been treated less than pawns, less than that. You have no value. You have no real meaning. Life itself has no real value or meaning. Only to those who have everything, and they say, "Who's going to know? Who can tell what we've been doing? God can." And those who are following after God with their heart is close to Him, they won't be hid from them. It won't be. You'll know. So we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live and say, we know all this happened. I guess it's going to be over for us. We got to quit talking like that. Don't you believe God can give you information? Don't you believe He can give you the words that you need to do, the understanding on when to do and when how to do it? He absolutely can. Listen, He's not the God who sent us His only Son who just comes saves us so we don't go to hell. I mean, we've heard that all of our lives. We're talking about the kingdom. We're planning to be active in the kingdom of God. There's going to be a takeover. And we don't talk that away anymore. We give lip service, and we don't mind being involved. We don't mind signing up for this and that. But when your heart's in it, you're going to say, you know what? I'm with you, and you with me, and we're preparing ourselves for a takeover. But we don't see ourselves like that. We don't see ourselves as the ones who'll be ruling and reigning with Christ. We don't see that. We sing it. We talk about it sometimes, but we don't believe it in our heart. Because if you believe it in your heart, you carry yourself different. Listen, a man go into the grocery store and he got a dollar and he been hungry for 2 weeks. He ain't walking in there alone like that. Right? No, he's going in there, I got to watch what I buy. But if he got $1,000 in his pocket, he's going raking the stuff in. He carries himself different. He's got a whole different attitude. The church, we're not postured right. We're not. Because we base what we have in this life as where we are in the spiritual realm. That's how we think. We think that way. But that's not what God said. Do you understand that? What He says about us is so superior than that. We ought to be carrying ourselves with not to have an attitude with anybody, but just to say that, you know what, I know whom I believe in. Paul carried himself different. They thought he was a crazy man. He said things to people, and he's a prisoner. He was the prisoner. The prisoners do what? Keep your mouth shut, for you get slapped in the mouth, right? But he says, hey guys, I don't think we should sail. No, really? You shut up. I'm just saying the angel of the Lord told me we shouldn't sail. Oh, really? Well, we're going anyway. Okay. Well, they got going and the storm come. Where that guy's at? The one that said we shouldn't come. Where he's at? They brought him out. He said, don't worry. The angel of the Lord stood by me this night and said, not one of you were going to lose a hair on your head. They listen now. Ship's falling apart. They listen. He carried himself different. Did he have a pocket full of money? No. But he knew he was a kingdom man. He knew he was built for the kingdom. He knew that there'll be a time, maybe not in his lifetime, but he would be a part of those who would rule and reign with Christ. Does anybody get that? Rule and reign. What are you going to rule over? Each other? Well, that's crazy. There's going to be people who need ruling. And you're going to rule and reign. Does anybody feel like in this building you can be a person who can take us? What if you just had placemans? We can talk about, we can talk all we want. We get one guy in and he don't do, we get the other guy in, we don't like him. Nobody's never going to be perfect. You understand? I don't care who it is. Nobody's going to be perfect. There's only one that's going to come in, and he's going to do it perfect. And that'll be Yeshua HaMashiach when he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he's not going to be doing that as a single independent person. We will rule and reign with Christ. Does anybody get that? Are you preparing yourself for that? Are you actually getting yourself ready Listen to me, you think how good we are. We can't rule and reign over our checkbook. We can't rule and reign over our relationships. We can't rule and reign in our workplace. We can't rule and reign in our family. Do you understand my point? We're behind. I know this is teaching, but I can't help it. Because this is what I was talking about on Sunday. We got to get with this. Because if we can't rule and reign over this stuff, we're never going to make it. We're not kingdom material. You say, well, can I do that? You can. Every single person in here, I'm telling you, you can do it. You don't need me to be the one that's going to hold your hand to do it. You have it inside of you with the power of the Most High dwelling on the inside of you. You can do it. I want to be there with you. I want to pursue this in my own life. I'm constantly praying, God, I got to do this better. I got to do it better than I've been doing it. We can't rule and reign over our stuff. How many's been challenged to take care of your stuff more? That's the truth. If you can't, we can't, because we give in. We give in to all sorts of things, and we got an excuse for everything that comes our way. And most of the time, it's somebody else's fault. And all he's asking, why don't you do that? Take some time. You know why we don't do it? We got to go and consciously say, you know what? I did that. I'm wrong about that. And I'm going to pray and ask God to help me that I don't do that no more. If it breaks, you fix it. You fix it because inside of you it rises up and you know you should do it right then and there, because if you wait, you'll never get it done. Because something else comes and before you know it, man, I should have done that. And it never happens. What are you doing? You're learning how to rule and reign. If we can't rail in these small things, we're not ready. Can you imagine God comes down and says, all right, here's what I'm going to do. All right, Eddie, you're going to take care. I'm going to give you all of South Louisiana. We're going to split Louisiana in half. Oh, you need to take care of everything. I don't care what's going on, all the problems, whatever they got going on. You're going to have all the answers. You're going to show up and say, okay, this is, we're going to do it God's way. Here we go. You got to be ready for that. Well, what do we got to take care of now? We got stuff every day. Every day. That's why he designed it the way he did. We got husbands and we got wives. We got children. We got houses. We got automobiles. We got work. We got all this stuff that we got to take care of. And we ought to be doing it the way God wants us to. And we ought to be requesting his information, his understanding. How do we get it done? You ever felt burnout? You ever felt burnout? You ever said, I'm so burnt out? You know what we blame it on? We got too much stuff. Do you ever realize maybe if we put our perspectives right, we got everything in order, that the stuff that we think's too much, that we can handle it very easy, with the help and the glory and grace of God, we can handle it easy if we just done what God wants us to do. But we always want to use something else. It's got to be something else. It's just too much. And we have to make sure that we look. Listen, I bet there's no way. You say, man, how can we get all that out of this, that prophecy? Because it's so packed with so many warnings. And so little bitty things in this prophecy to let us know, be careful, because the same thing that he put on them, it'll be the same thing that comes against us if we're not careful. And let me tell you, if we want to be honest, we've seen these little times, we've seen these type of attacks in our own families, in our lives, because, and we trace it back, I can tell you, it's because we didn't heed to the woe. We didn't heed the woe. Whoa! Right when I was saying it, because it's right, I'm going to say it anyway, and he's going, whoa. And we pass the wall. Once you pass the wall, you say it, then the consequence. And you go, how many's ever said this? Boy, I shouldn't have said that. You see? And we've done it. But we have to ask God to help us, empower us, so we don't do it. And I might do it again, and God, I got to get better here. I got to grow here. And what do? You search the scripture for that spot, and you make sure you fine-tune that area. Let me tell you, how many's ever done something, you've done it so much, you get good at it? You can. I was thinking about this the other day. Brother Troy, it brought me a trowel. So he made me a trowel. So, and I was thinking, you know what? I hadn't sewn and cut out a trowel in a long time. I mean, I'd be like, you know, I got a general idea, but I'd be like, I don't even remember how to start. You know, what do you do? And I could do it before. I'd done it before. I made nets before. But I hadn't done it in a long time. So how would I react if I was just given a pile of webbing? I would be in a mess, and it would take me a lot longer than it should take me if I'd be practicing. The same happens with the Word of God. That's how come we get ourselves in a mess so many times, because we're not ready. And we should be. How many's got one? I got one, you got one. The more you in it, the better you're going to be. You're going to be ready for that, whatever it is. The enemy comes. You don't never know what's going to be required of you on that particular day. You never know the question. You never know the situation or the circumstance. You never, ever know when somebody's going to need that one last prayer. You never know. Are you prepared? Are you ready? Can you give them the right scripture? Can you point them in the right direction? Can you tell them, hey, God will help you with this? You turn things around. Shall the potter be considered as equal with the clay? That what is made would say to the maker, he did not make me? Huh. Or what is formed say to him who formed it, he has no understanding? Let me just tell you this. That what I just read is exactly what the elite around the world is saying in the face of God. We don't need God. We're here. We got so much technology. Listen, there's so much technology that if it come out tomorrow, every one of you would fall on your knees and start crying out to God in fear of the technology that not coming, already been existing. We could do things that's just coming out now in the 50s. So technology is being held back to the pawns, the puppets. But the elite been having this technology for a long time. The medical advancements would shock you. And it's just starting to hit this like, oh, there's new development. There's no new development. Listen, how many remember when cloning was the big thing on TV? They come out with it, right? Oh, and people were saying, oh, well, you know, they'll never be able to do that for humans. Listen, the Chinese was cloning for 30 years before cloning ever came into the news. So what else? Do you understand my point? We think like, oh, this is horror. Man, this world's changed. This world been changed. You have no idea the stuff. And it's all in the face of God. Ha! Ha! And he says, listen, when that happens, whoa. And that's exact. So if you want to talk about close, you want to talk about, we bet this fall season coming? If we're going to get it, no lip service. We don't need lip service. We don't need to just be drawn near to God with our words. We got our heart better be, fully engaged. You fully engage your heart every single day. You tell the Lord, Lord, I need to engage my heart. Quit looking at everybody else. Engage your heart. When you come to church, when you got here this Thursday, listen, I come. I'm sitting at the house. I'm saying, man, I can't wait. I'm going to go. We're going to have somebody. The Lord knew I needed to say this tonight. You think I practice all this? No, I got this Sunday. Sunday, the Lord said, you need to read Isaiah. I read it before I come out my office. I didn't speak on it. But let me tell you, that moment, the Lord put everything deposited in me. I never spoke a word of it. Had no idea I would even say all the stuff I'm saying now. But I trust the Lord. He deposited in me. And I said to the Lord today, I said, Lord, I know you made so many deposits in me. I was so overwhelmed that it was like everything in my face. I don't get sinus trouble. But I see people with sinuses, and it's just like they say, it's all just like, well, all of a sudden, in my prayer time, it was like everything that could have been any kind of illness attached to anything just came completely flooding out. I had to grab multiple tissue, and I was like, God, you're so amazing, just instantly. just overwhelmed. My eyes, I couldn't, my tears were just flowing. I was like, God, you making a deposit. There's so many things, and I could just, you could just see it. It was a little burst. Just burst. And all of Scripture, because he literally spoke the Scripture to me. When he spoke the Scripture that I had to read, because I said, God, what do I need to read? I just said a lot. And that's when it happened. So I knew that if he spoke me to read that verse that I didn't even get to read yet, I said I would go over Isaiah and then we'd go quickly to read it. I knew that he had to deposit everything about it. Because I didn't get up. I wasn't going to get up. I didn't go to my computer. I'm not going to go to my computer. I'm not going to build no slides. I'm going to just, whatever it is. You know. That's what I'm trying to tell you. We have to let God do that. You got to come to Thursday. You got to engage your heart. Don't come and say, well, it's Thursday night Bible study. You've set a limit. That's the limit. You put a limit on a past experience. We got to quit doing that. This is another day, and you have a God. Listen, we're talking about the Most High God, and he says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. He knows them. So what I want to do, I'm coming Thursday night, I want to engage. Yes, Lord, I want to engage. My heart is here. You got to do whatever it is needs to be done. I yield to you. Let's start doing that. Come Sunday, engage. When you get here, don't worry. I'm kind of just waiting for the service to start. Really? What you waiting on? We like going to hit the magic button? The on button? That's not how you engage the moment you get here. The moment you get here, engage. When you do that, guess what? Your interaction with people is going to become different. You're going to walk across the other side and say, I just want to tell you, brother, I love you. And I was praying for you. I seen you. And this God is awesome. And all of a sudden, he's going to engage. And we're going to have heart engage. When that happens, it's going to change everything about the environment. When the environment changes, the Spirit of the Lord will enter in. The environment had to change the day of Pentecost. Until the environment changed, he did not come. And on the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, they were in one accord in one place. Uh-oh. The environment changes, and it sets the scene for the Spirit of the Lord. You want the Spirit of God? We got to interact. We got to engage our hearts. He said, but your heart is far from me. We could do the rest of the stuff. We already know how to do that. I mean, you can write it in a book and give it to people, step 1 to 7, and they all can do it. But you can't engage the heart with step 1 through 7. It's got to be you and you alone. I can't engage your heart. You can't engage mine. It's a willful action that I say to the Lord, I want you, and I need all of you, and here I am. So what do? We submit ourselves to the Lord. How many want to engage? Engage. When you get here, you engage. You say, man, nobody's doing anything. Don't be a spectator. You only got that through spectating. You watching everybody, waiting for somebody else to do it. You engage. When you engage, and the others can engage if they want, but you're going to go. Let me tell you what will happen. If you're the only one engaged, God's going to meet you in that part. He'll meet you. You can be in the same service with everybody else. One's blessed, the other's not. How is that possible? Because you engaged. And I'm telling you, I'm only encouraging you to do it. I've been trying to engage with the Lord every day. I'm engaging with him. When I come Sunday, the first thing I'm going to do. Why? What am I going to do about planning the service? I can plan services. But what good is it to plan a service if you don't have the power of the anointing on your life to implement what you've been planning? You can't do it. I can't implement Isaiah. I couldn't implement it tonight. I need the power of the Lord. If he got to tell me all this stuff. He's got to give it to me. It's got to be done in real time. I gotta go. God, you gotta give it to me in real time. I gotta engage you. And that's all I want to do. And then we can do that, every one of us. You do that, let me tell you, it's gonna be amazing what'll happen. And don't seek some superficial signs that shows you engage. That stuff he adds. Listen, the essential things of life are small things to the Lord. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things, which he talked about in the previous verse, the essential things of life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, and all that stuff, shall be added. I'll just throw that in. We spend most of our time trying to get those things, and he's going to throw them in? I think we need to regroup here. Huddle. Right? He's just going to throw them in? I'm telling you, engage your heart and watch God. You never seen a hand of God will move in your behalf. How many know God? He'll send people your way, don't even know you. They'll call you. I don't know why. Somebody told me I need to call you. Or whatever. It'll happen every time. Every time, no matter where you go in life, you'll have encounters. You'll go to, we've been on trips. We go on a trip, we don't even know who we're going to. All of a sudden, we're sitting with some people, and that's a God encounter. That's what you need to do every time. Engage. How many are going to engage Sunday? You come, just engage. And whoever's not here, you need to get this information to them. Tell them everything I said tonight. Praise the Lord. So, isn't it amazing that we live in a society that's laughing at God? They are. Listen to the things they say. It's like telling the potter, the clay, you know, the clay's going, hey, I don't need you. That's what they're doing. Our society is basically pointing their finger in God's face, saying, we got this. We don't need you. We don't need you anywhere. You can be removed from everything. We got this. We are now. So let me tell you why a person's attitude gets that away. Because the technology exists. They know it exists. That they believe in their mind that they can create. They can do. They control the weather. Listen, you might say, oh, there goes Pastor. You can check it out for yourself. Just go pray and ask God. You're going to be confused on the internet. That's what happens to most people because they don't even cover themselves. They just start clicking. We got too much clicking going on. Let me tell you what I do. I pray for hours and cover myself to make sure. Lord, I'm not going there. There ain't no sense in me going there. I can come to a spot and usually don't click that. Click that. But there's information that's good and there's information that's bad. And you got to be very careful. And you got to cover yourself in prayer. If you can't be led by the Spirit when you're here in an environment that is very protected, you definitely don't want to step into an arena where there's every kind of cohort and demonic influence that can so easily try to trap you. You don't step in there. If you can't get it here, if you can't get it in every day, don't go in that arena because you are setting yourself. Paul, we know. And we know Jesus, but who you are. That's exactly what will happen. And you'll come back bruised and beaten. I had the worst week of my life. And it was just church people. I don't know what to do. I'm lost for words. You got to be careful. You step in an arena and the devil makes you feel like you're nothing. You're a lowlife. You should never feel like that. You're a kingdom child. You're a child of the Most High God. Do you understand that? And the enemy knows that. He knows that. So do I need to yell louder than him? I don't have to yell. I just got to stand my position as the child of God. Hold my position. And you'll see. Jesus come and he says, leave, spirit leave. And so these are things. And let me tell you, it takes some time. You don't just happen. It takes some time. So I pray that we can engage in our hearts. That's what it's going to take. You come to every service, engage your heart. If you're going to do something, you signed up for anything, engage your heart. I don't care what it is. If you hadn't signed up, you need to engage your heart and you'll start signing up. Guarantee you will. I'm not because somebody asked you. You're going to feel like, this is... You know, if we all, listen, there's this video. I don't know if you've seen it, but there's this video. I can't even remember what town it was in, but the Amish picked this house up. How many have seen that video? That they moved the whole house with just a bunch of Amish guys. And it was a YouTube video. I don't know who posted it or whatever. But they had this house they had to move. So they got it all this in. And they a bunch of them inside, so you don't see a lot of people on the outside, but the house is walking down the road. It's just like, okay, where's the vehicle? It is just boom, 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 boom. The whole house. Now, how's that possible? They engaged their hearts. They got in one accord. And they had to go in one direction. And they all had to lift. Oh my, what will happen on this peninsula if here at this church we engage our heart and we all lift together and we all going in the same direction? See, we want and we have tendencies to have that hope, but we want it on our terms, on our time. We expect it, but we're not engaged in our own heart with what God wants. This is what we have to do. It's like going to the board and you erase it. Because there's been a lot of nonsense, right? And we erase the board and we say, okay, Lord, we just want to do what you want. And then the reason we do it. We're afraid that we'll be last. That's a trick from the enemy. That's what we're afraid of. Because if I need to help somebody else, we're afraid that when am I going to get my help? And the enemy's tricked us. Going to God, he said, the first shall be last. And the last shall be first. So what spot you want to go in? You know what we really want? Because it's not a kingdom principle. I want it first. We'll go anyway. I want to be first. Right? How many know it feels good when you're first? It does. I mean, we've been to Disney World so many times. And when you got to the line first, you went, we first. It feels good. You know, it does. But then there's times we come in and going, we ain't riding that ride. Let's go. Because we never got on. That's what we're thinking. Because you like to be first. And it makes you feel good. You know, you get there first. If somebody, you know, you're going somewhere and they say, oh, yeah, you'll come here. You're first. That's not a kingdom principle. Just to let you know. We like it because it makes us feel good. Immediately you feel good. Because it's quick satisfaction. That's not how the kingdom operates. And he lets us know. So that's why we handicap ourselves because we don't. Well, who's going to lift? I hope everybody lifts. I'll lift. I don't mind lifting. Well, you can have that whole conversation. Can you move the house? Never. You get there and nobody's worrying. Who's going? Well, I got my end. I hope you got your end. Nobody's doing that. They just get there because they got one job to do. And that's what? Move the house. Move the house from where it is to where it needs to go. And we're going to do it. And all the Amish guys got together. They all worked in harmony together. And they lifted and they walked off with it. And they got it to where it needed to be. This is exactly what we're going to have to do as a church. We're going to have to engage our hearts. And don't worry about who's first. Don't worry about who's lifting more. You got the light side. That's what we do. I hear people, we talk about, oh yeah, you got the light. It's always, it's talking in a way that the guy being talked to is less. That's not how we should engage. It's not becoming a believer, and it definitely don't give the light of the gospel so the lost can be saved. I got mine. Yeah, you had the light in. You know, that's, and we do that. And we do it, maybe we might call it joking, but we let that same stuff trickle into our everyday life and we act that way. We can't do that. That's not kingdom. I'm for you. You're for me. And we're all for him. When that happens, it's going to be incredible. I'm telling you. How many need breakthrough in your life at anything, any level? You need a breakthrough. That's how we're going to get it. We're going to get it when we come to church Sunday. We engage. We engage our hearts and just let God. Whatever it is the Lord has to, I'm going to engage. I'm telling you, it's going to be absolutely incredible. So I hope that you got something out of that Isaiah. We'll see where.